How can you find, fund, and fix planet-sized problems? First, you need to be informed. And that starts here with the DOI Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in. Monday, April the 18th. Welcome into the most meaningful crypto conversation on the interwebs this evening. This evening, we've got some great news stories. Jack Dorsey in the news, NFTs at 30,000 feet. There's just a lot going on. So with no further ado, welcome in, Corey. How are you doing this evening?
Doing pretty good, Phil. Doing pretty good.
All right. So, Corey, hopefully I'm coming through loud and clear, and hopefully inside of the... Hopefully everybody's getting loud and clear. We did some adjustments on our audio. You know, we've had a lot of people say that I'm too quiet compared to you. So hopefully we've got that figured out. If you guys are able to give me a little bit of feedback in the podcast chat, that would be awesome. It'd be fantastic. We are live tonight on Clapper, on Discord, and on Facebook. So if you are on Facebook or Clapper and you would like to engage and you'd like to talk to us, then jump over here to our Discord, and you'll find links pretty much everywhere. Jump over here and get involved with us. We would love it.
Well, so first and foremost, let me interject for just a moment and say that you sound fantastic this evening.
All right. We did a lot of adjustments, and I think maybe we've got it figured out. I sound really weird in my own headphones, but we do it for the people, Corey.
That we do.
Just got to do it. So, Corey, there's a lot of news going on. You guys, we've got some other information we want to discuss with you this evening. We're going to talk about, we're going to cover a couple of things. One of the things we're going to talk about is community response and how we deal with people if they barge into the Discord or into any conversation. Whitelist registration, working our way to that. We may have some numbers at the end of the night if producer Ethan gets something together for us. We'll see. Telegram numbers are way up. And then we're going to talk about something 20% gram, and you might think, well, that's pretty titillating. It is, and we'll circle back to that in just a few minutes. But Corey, in the news, you know, there's some big news happening with there's so much news, and you guys did a really good job of bringing some of this news in. Really appreciate that. It was good work. Some stuff for iPhone users was kind of at the top of my list. And that's the Opera Crypto Browser is now available for iPhones, and they're promising better security and helping block from cryptojacking scripts. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that that's where a lot of this stuff is going to go is, you know, integrating it directly into the platforms that we're using all the time. Per usual, whenever a really fantastic app comes out, you know, Apple is quick to adapt and add it to its own operating system. And same thing with if a really great product comes out on Amazon, Amazon usually keeps tabs on it and goes diapers.com on it. So making sure that you can get access on a larger scale inside of an ecosystem you're already using, you know, I think all of these large providers are going to let other people step on all the landmines, and then they're going to build out really amazing platforms that you can use to make things easy and secure, because quite frankly, that's the part that we're still missing, isn't it, Phil?
Yeah, that's definitely right. The security is something that's going to have to rise to the occasion, so to speak. And when you see places like Amazon getting into that circle, that's really going to help. I don't know if people realize exactly how big Amazon is in relation to our daily web traffic, right, Corey? They've got some of the biggest cloud services and, you know, the major huge hubs. They've got it.
Yeah, they truly do. And I'm kind of curious because, like, whenever you look at this whole Opera operating system, the crypto browser that we started off the news with, and how it allows you to sell Ethereum, Polygon, CeeLo, you know, ecosystems, buy, sell, transfer. I wonder when Amazon's going to get in the game.
Oh, you know, they're just waiting. Like you say, they're going to let some of the other smaller companies step on the landmines, work out some of the details, but you know they're going to have to get in it. And when they do, it will move the industry in the most powerful of ways.
Truly, truly. And they're also going to see what people really like. For instance, the Opera, The company has said that the browser also comes with a cryptocurrency mining protection that blocks crypto jacking scripts that may compromise the performance of an iPhone or iPad device. So basically hijacking your processor. And other security features, by the way, like native ad and tracker blockers, pop-up blockers, intuitive cookie dialogue blockers, which that's actually huge. I'm talking about security full circle in Amazon. Those are the kinds of things whenever you think about how cookies can be integrated into hijacking your wallets or hijacking your processor. And clearly those kinds of things will get messier before they get cleaner. And then whenever it's all pretty much on the other side, then, you know, Amazon will probably come in and launch its native version and put it directly into some kind of, like, you know, new Amazon Fire phone that they've been waiting to relaunch and label it a crypto phone or something, and then make another play.
You know, Musk, I skipped over some Elon Musk stories because that dude can't stay out of the news. And I was like, give us a break for one day. But, you know, he's got a phone scheduled for release. It's a prototype right now. But it has mining software already built into it for the Mars coin,
which is
pretty interesting. And you can definitely see that that's going to, you know, this is something we talked about a long time ago, that how awesome would it be for us to just be able to earn a passive income off the backside of our phone, right? They're already huge processing power and getting better and better every day. You know, eventually they're going to be able to handle like micro mining. And if you can imagine the network that would be built out, it'd be incredible.
It truly would be incredible. And quite frankly, more sustainable if it was designed in a way almost like a proof of stake mining system where it's not about the processing power that you have, assuming you have a minimum processing power, but more about your ability to step in and mine that that block because you're part of the overall system. And then just merely being on that platform allows you to be part of the proof of stake. You know, there isn't more requirements other than that.
Yeah. Yep. So true. So Corey, another interesting story that we've got going on here. When we talk about NFTs, there's a few NFT stories in here, and we know that NFTs, non-fungible tokens, are going to be kind of something that comes on huge. And they are definitely picking up steam. You know, Jack Dorsey's first tweet NFT, the first tweet sold for $2.9 million. And the guy that bought it is trying to sell it as an NFT, and he wants $48 million. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, I kind of feel like before he should have made that play, he should have defined if there was a market.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, just because you bought it for a lot doesn't mean that somebody else wants to buy for even more.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Just because you changed it into the name of an NFT. It's pretty interesting, and I thought, well, that's, I mean, it's such a hype, a high ask for it. Just seemed wild.
Yeah, I mean, it did, but I guess in that person's mind, I guess, you know, if they would have gotten the yes, then they would have obviously netted $45.1 million. But it's at some point in time, there has to be some kind of tangible outcome for that. Now, I think on the opposite hand, though, I think if he would have worked with Jack Dorsey along with some kind of custom integrated a new project that Jack Dorsey was doing to give exclusive rights, and so there was like some kind of value created around just instead of just buying the NFT, I think that there might have been a move there. Like if there was some kind of like a, like with maybe if what they did was take this tweet that they bought, take it as collateral for like a larger, you know, one of, you know, some kind of project Square might be having in the crypto space like that, and then get exclusive access to kind of be able to, you know, backstage passes to meet with Jack Dorsey and everyone else forever for free at any conference that they may be at. Then I think you would have had a much stronger play for that $48 million, but it seems very hollow to me to go just straight from here to there.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. It doesn't seem like there's really any value there, and almost like a meme NFT. And if you really stop and think about what NFTs are and what they provide, they are certainly not a meme. So I'd rather all the memes stay out. And that really, that's just kind of a joke.
Yeah. And I get that they, Astabi, you know, the person trying to sell it, did make the play that they 50% of the proceeds will go to charity. But at the same time, it's how virtuous is it whenever you're saying 50% of my after my $22 million right. net profit? Like, I think it would have been much different if they said 98%.
Well, sure. And it seems like he just wanted to make the 22 and wants a tax write off for it.
Ooh, yeah. Got to get straight into the taxes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what that seems like what that move would be about. I don't know.
Well, regardless, it didn't play out well. So until next time, we'll see what the next move is here. So ultimately, that's not the final move to be made with that tweet. But I do wonder if he devalued it permanently by trying to put it out there and then getting a $300 bid.
Yeah, crickets. Yeah. So I really don't see the value in it anyways. But, you know, while we're talking about NFTs, let's move on to the next one, right? Because this is pretty cool. Emirates Airlines. I don't know if anybody knows who Emirates Airlines is, but they're huge. They are moving into the NFT space also. And I thought it was kind of an interesting move. You know, there's so many different things that NFTs can be used for. I don't know if they're really going to use it for promotional. There's so many other avenues that it could be used for. Yeah, I don't really know.
Well, so that said, my mind explodes mm-hmm. with the potential of where they could go with that.
Yeah.
The United Arab Emirates national carrier has announced that it will be launching collectible and utility-based NFTs mm-hmm. with its first project already underway. Now, that said, Emirates employed virtual reality technology on its website and app more than 5 years ago to offer travelers an immersive 3D view of aircraft interiors and onboard experiences. So it was the first airline to launch its own VR app on the Oculus Store, showcasing the interactive cabin interior. I wonder, because it doesn't really say here, and it says specifically, it says that there were no further details on what NFTs would consist of or how they could interact with the passenger experiences. But let's think about that for a second. What could you do with that? If you were an airline with billions of dollars at your disposal, and you wanted to get into VR, AR, NFTs in a big way, what's something that comes to mind to you?
Well, if this is going to be on a digital plane ride in the metaverse, then I want the ability. I want the NFT for stopping a baby from crying. I want that NFT. How can I ride on this plane with no baby screaming?
I'm pretty sure that's... That suffocating babies is not something you can put into an NFT.
I just wanted to shut the baby off, right? This is a digital. This isn't my metaverse experience, okay? And I just want it to shut the baby off. It's just a meta baby. It's fine.
just a meta baby. So, by the way, looking in the podcast chat, if any of you have some interesting ideas, I'd love to hear them. Something that came to mind to me is whenever it comes to NFTs, I always think about experiential, something that has to do with place and time. So not just thing. So like if you think about, okay, you know, back to grade school, what is a thing, a person, place, or what is a noun, a person, place, or a thing? Well, it can be a person, it can be a place, it can be a thing, it can also be a time. So to clarify what all that means is as you're traveling along your journey, you could make NFTs happen based off of how far along you are in the journey. You could also make NFTs happen based off of where you're going in the journey. You can make NFTs based off of where you're at in the moment. You could make, let's say you're flying over Kansas and Kansas City can have a collaboration with you and you as the airline, and then all of a sudden something pops up and it's the Power and Lights District and you're like flying through it in 3D in live time. And also too, along the way, as you're doing it, it's showing you the, of course, you're United Arab Emirates. So while you're doing it in live time, it's also showing like how they board and deplane, like what the airport looks like, what kind of special airplanes might be there. Maybe it shows like the whoever's at that particular airline that they want to give awards to, like maybe pilot of the year or customer service attendant of the year, or maybe there's like a special kind of like travel lounge in that particular airport as well that they want to talk about, or a certain experience that you can book in live time through the website. And then you see it come up and you're like in this place, allows you to book tickets in live time.
So many options. There's so many possibilities. You know,
they just on and on and on it goes.
And some, I don't remember who some of these people are that talk, but there's this one dude that makes his way around and He is talking about the NFTs, and when he talks about it, it's like a whole new world. It's like, my gosh, there's so many different things that can happen with an NFT that it's just crazy.
It truly is. And to think that because it's an NFT, you can actually own that experience. Like, you physically own it. Like, you become part of it, you own it, you purchase it. And of course, all the other property rights that you can do with receipts or tickets or, you know, backstage passes, etc. But like, I think the simplest way to try to summarize this big complicated thing, one might wonder how you can come up with anything in the world. And within moments, I'll be like, NFT, 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 NFT. And I can just like nonstop, as fast as I can talk, come up with all the different things that you could do with that NFT in that space. Really, to make it super simple, all it really comes down to is whenever you think about an NFT, instead of just thinking about JPEGs, also think about any kind of property rights that you'd want to store digitally, that you want to share individually or with a group. And also start thinking about experience, not just experience in the digital world, but experience in where a digital world laid over the top of your physical one that changes based off of where you're at, who you're with, what time it is, and what your exclusive NFTs are. And so all of a sudden you go, okay, it changes the mindset for what can be done with it and to be becoming a completely different world.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, but it's pretty complicated and it encompasses so much that it's kind of hard to even wrap your head around all of the things that are possible because there are so many possibilities with it. It's definitely going to be a different change to the crypto scene. As NFTs come onto the rise, right? Because now we're seeing huge billion-dollar companies that are signing up and making partnerships to create NFTs. So they're going to have the marketing money to put behind it. I think it's going to grow outrageous.
So I've got something here. So is this being recorded, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant, because I want to call this one. I haven't seen anybody call this.
If you're wrong, I'll cut it out in post-production.
You got to leave it because we won't know whether or not I'm right or wrong for at least a couple decades. But I foresee an NFT that not only gives you an experience, but is created through experience. Have you ever done Mad Libs before, Phil?
No.
So have you ever done like one of those things where like somebody asks you, like, give me a word, give me a place, you know? Yeah, and then they fill out the little book, and then based off the things that you give them, you get like a completely different story. Have you ever done like that with your kids or school or anything?
No, I can't say that I have. Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's nice. Maybe it was my generation kind of, but that was one of the things that they would do is you would say, hey, give me an animal, and you'd be like an aardvark, and he's like, give me a place. You go San Francisco, and it'd be like. And it's like they had blank spaces where you could input the things. And then all of a sudden, you'd read the whole story with all of your blank things put in there. And it'd be like, the aardvark had a really sleepy day in San Francisco where he saw the giant cheese and so on and so forth. And kids have a good time with it. But the point being, is to tie full circle, is NFTs can be, and I believe should be, and the most valuable ones will be experience created. Meaning that you create the NFT by interacting in a place. So it truly is not only one of a kind in your ownership, but it's one of a kind in creation. It can never be recreated in its exact way again. The actions that happened, the person that did it, the outcomes that happened because of the diversity of life. Like, let's say an NFT was created by interacting through, let's say, an open world RPG style thing, and you had like Ninja or some other kind of famous video game player came in, and with the way that they interacted with it actually created the NFT as they went, almost kind of like for those of you who play Fable, where you can choose like whether or not it turns out to be good or bad depending on your actions. You create the NFTs from your actions, and then the outcome NFT is truly one of a kind, can't be recreated ever again, and then based off the outcome could have more or less value. So does that make any sense, or was it too deep into the weeds?
Well, if I had a weed eater, it would help, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm still learning. I'm still wrapping my head around NFTs every day.
Brilliant. Well, yeah. For those listening to the podcast, we repeat this. Just remember that I said it. So
we'll hold you
wherever I'm at. Wherever I'm at, send me a sandwich or something like that. Says, good job, buddy, with a note on it. Seven years from now,
I'll send you an NFT of a sandwich that I ate, and it was a great experience, and I'll send it to you.
Oh, there you go.
There it is. So Tornado Cash, next in the news, Tornado Cash spins up sanctions compliance in the web interface. So they just released a new web interface. You know, Tornado Cash was in the news a couple weeks ago because they basically were allowing sanctioned wallets that had to do with the Russia-Ukraine conflict. They were not sanctioning their wallets. They were basically saying, you know, it is what it is. And so they've stepped that up, and now they've put in some sanction compliance in there and to block those. And I don't think it was just about the, you know, there was multiple things they were working on, you know, money laundering. I think they were working on a couple different angles.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting blend, and I could see it going very, very beautiful ways. And I could also see it kind of muddying up the waters of what their mission and vision is. But it could be very interesting to create something that allows for anonymity until anonymity is no longer by and for the people. And also, too, it allows for trustless transactions until those transactions are something that is clearly abhorrent. So,
and in that case, they're still not identities known, right? They're still just blocking wallet addresses, basically. So they have to know who they are. But yeah, I don't know. It is pretty interesting. I'm kind of an absolutist on some things, and freedom of speech is one of them. I don't know. I just see it's a slippery slope when they can come in and do it. But I think that they were probably worried about being pushed out of the market because they weren't complying with any of the sanctions. When you have the whole world teaming up against you, it's a little difficult.
Yeah. I mean, that said, I mean, if you're the North Korean hacking organization, Lazarus Group, you probably were hoping that they didn't do anything like that.
Yeah. Well, I think it was something that they were going to have to do to stay relevant, because the way I see it happening right now is that you have such a move to really employ sanctions on some of these countries and some of the players in the countries, that it's going to make it difficult if you won't take part in the sanctions. You're going to be kind of blacklisted, and then next thing you know, other countries aren't going to allow you to do business inside of their country because you're not holding the sanctions. So I see that it can be a mess for a company, and it's but a slippery slope for freedom, for sure.
Really. And there is a blend. I think appropriately the blend should be created by us having these conversations, as the, not us, Phil and I, us, all of us, the people, the we, humanity, anyone who's actively engaged in the revolution. We should decide collectively what that looks like, what that proper balance between, you know, privacy and security is, because obviously it's a shade of gray and not black or white on one side or the other.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So to another story in here, Corey, you know, this one doesn't have quite the news article that we can bring into podcast chat, but let's talk about it anyways for a second. Three African nations are considering the adoption of cryptocurrencies. Cameroon, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and the Republic of the Congo are all said to be considering implementation of cryptocurrencies and blockchain technologies. All of them to be powered by the open network or the Tron. Pretty interesting, right? Africa is coming on strong with cryptos, and I think it really goes back to something that I've thought has a great potential of happening, is that other nations that don't have quite the developed economies, they are hungry, right? They are looking for a new way. And where you have some of the Western nations and also some other nations, right, but just in more developed economies that are trying to slow roll everything to squeeze every last dollar or of purchasing power they can out of the old system.
Yeah, I would say so. And to that point, they don't have the shackles. And we've talked about this a number of times. They don't have the burden that comes with propping up an existing infrastructure whenever they create something new. And obviously, there's a lot of beautiful things that happen that you can have whenever you have an existing infrastructure. So it's not all wins to be starting from square one, but it's also not all losses too. Whenever you consider, you know, some developed economies, you can learn from all of their mistakes, all technologically, infrastructure, politically, and then you can kind of step ahead to where they're at, you know, trying to pay all their debts. And
Hey, China did that in a big way with 5G, right? You know, the United States was one of the first countries to build out a cell network across the country. And because that infrastructure was so expensive, they wanted to, again, to squeeze every dime of profit they could out of it. So they were slow rolling the 5G when China was, you know, they were pushing it out as their second innovation. And we were pushing it out as our, what, fourth, fifth?
Yeah.
You know, so, big, you know, and they got a big leg up, a big jump on that. So it's pretty interesting. Sometimes it looks like you're behind until technology changes. And then all of a sudden it puts you in a position to just come out way ahead.
Truly. I can't help but to think, have you seen the movie Talladega Nights?
I did.
Shake and bake.
Yeah.
Shake and bake. you let somebody cut ahead of you so that way they can cut the air and kind of then you just ride behind them and all of a sudden you just vault past.
Well, and if you're, you know, strategic and some countries are very strategic long term on how they think, you know, it makes sense to allow another country to build out the infrastructure and then to rely on that infrastructure while you're building out something newer and greater. So they did it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense in every way because whenever you're doing something new, you've got to figure out how do we train people, who do we employ, what minerals do we, what equipment, resources do we, where do we find them from? You have to build this entire infrastructure from start to finish just to like get the end outcome. And then if you're watching from the sidelines, once all that's in place, all the efficiency across the supply chain has been created. There's now a market. There's people being employed. There's colleges or trade schools teaching all these different things, and then all of a sudden you can step in and just tap into it. Whereas if you're building it from scratch, it's a lot harder whenever the railroad isn't there than if you just kind of like let everybody build it all out and go, hey, wait a second, why don't you do that over here too?
Yeah, definitely a lot more obstacles there. So another story in the news, Corey, that we're going to throw up in there is Binance launches its first customer service center in Turkey. And I thought that was really, interesting. And you know what? Sometimes this evening I was in such a hurry getting here. I didn't have time to read through, all the way through all of these stories. So I'm not sure if they're establishing their first one in Turkey or it's their first one.
It's their first customer service center.
Okay. Okay.
In Turkey.
Okay. Their first one in Turkey or their first one.
I see what you're saying. Is that their first ever customer service center is their first ever customer service center in Turkey? The way that so Binance will provide its Turkish customers a 24/7 customer care support through its app, according to the announcement shared by Cointelegraph Turkey. It says that 7% of the desktop browser access is on Binance's primary platform in Turkey. Let's see. The possible reason for Binance to pick Turkey is a high volume of exchange traffic. I mean, it seems like it's brand new.
It's the brand new, but the first one.
It's brand new. So,
interesting. Frankly, it says they'll be providing customer support only via text in the forthcoming period. So, interesting.
Which is both a fantastic one, if you think about how little customer service you have now. So, if you become how hard, basically, we started off this podcast to saying that crypto still needs to become easy and secure. Well, now they're trying to make it a lot easier.
Yeah.
And also, too, with customer service people probably making it a lot more secure because then you can have customer relations, accounts, things like that.
Right.
Binance is clearly trying to eat the globe.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like as long as they don't bite off more than they can chew, they're going to do it. You know, how about a concept for the metaverse of customer service, right, where I can come in and I can get face-to-face with an avatar. And the other person on the other side of the avatar can just use a language translator so they can speak in their native language. And then their avatar will speak to me in mine.
Truly, I think people would pay for that. I think if you had a choice, and that was going to be the second thing I was going to say, is that, you know, it's nice to have the customer service, but I really wish it would be more than just via text. Because sometimes a phone call, like a in-person interaction, is what you need.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
Sometimes the it's moment, not.
Sometimes it's not. I think I personally would be willing to pay for that. I think there are many other people that would be too. Yeah. That would pay a monthly fee of $19 a month or whatever it might be in order to have the ability to just know that you have the ability to have, you know, your own customer service rep.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, how helpful would that be? And you know, speaking of Binance, the last story that we have, let's hit this real quick and then let's come back to Binance, just to get this off. Hyundai Cars. Okay. I don't know if anybody else owns a Hyundai, but Hyundai Cars have now teamed up and they are going to produce NFTs. They're going to produce 30 NFTs to start. And if you watch the little video, you need to click into the news. I can't bring this story, unfortunately, in because of the format. But if you go and click into the news section and watch the little video they've got there, I think it shows you a little bit of what their NFTs are going to look like and kind of Bored Ape-ish or Yacht Ape-ish.
Yacht Ape-ish.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of these NFTs have the same kind of feel to them. Like everybody's trying to copy the most successful one and just put a little bit of a twist on it. That, you know, all the characters seem to be a little bit the same as the, what is it, the Bored Yacht NFTs? Bored Ape Yacht? I don't even know the name of it.
Yeah, Bored Ape Yacht Club, yeah.
Yep. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yuga Labs. So the, yeah, that is pretty interesting. And clearly the move to be making, I'm wondering how long it's going to be until the NFTs are actually purchased in the dealership.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that, especially with a technological interface, you could actually make it just like with Tesla, where you buy packages.
Yeah.
That you get a different setup in your car. You can even have different horsepower based off of what kind of NFT you buy. And you can decide to buy it at any given point in time. Maybe even you buy the NFT temporarily. It pops up on your screen. You pull it up and you click the QR code with MetaMask and you have a different amount of horsepower for a period of one year. Maybe 1 month, maybe during the duration of a test drive, whatever it might be. You can do different interactions with maybe what kind of satellite radio that you have moment to moment. And of course, you know, a number of other controls, whether or not it does or doesn't have lane assist. You just build all those things in there and you turn those into like subscription models. So
Everything's a subscription model now.
Hey, it is. I'm not saying that it's the world that I would always choose, but if you're a corporation, So for those who are interested, if you're looking at the strongest business models as far as returns, multiples on the income, net profit to what their stock is worth, it's always recurring revenue businesses. So think Amazon. Amazon makes money, of course, Amazon Web Services, but they also really make the money off of Amazon Prime.
I think they print it. I think they print money. I think maybe in one of those big shipping houses that we think is just a big warehouse full of widgets, it's actually the printing presses.
Well, so technically...
They got that game figured out, don't they?
Well, technically, they did kind of print their money to go off on a tangent, because whenever governments were printing money and they were doing it by buying assets, there was a large number of assets that were basically illegal to operate, meaning things that were shut down. Therefore, they're not legal to operate those businesses. So you can't put government funds into those. So you had to buy assets that you could. And clearly, Amazon was a strong asset to dump a lot of government money into. And there was. So they literally, I mean, I can't say literally, but the closest connection to literally is, yes, they were kind of getting money printed and shoved into their account.
Yeah. So where does that government money come from? What do they make?
Ooh, oh, it's imaginary. No. Well, so that's the best part. And then we're going to tie into, like, we're going to get down to the ground for a second. But that's the best part, Phil. But it really doesn't even come from us. So because the fact that all this inflationary money system, it's not actually tax-based. It's inflation-based, meaning that it's printed into existence and then it goes down in value by orders of... Michael Saylor was actually having a conversation with Lex Fridman. I think it was probably a few days ago. And he was talking about how... things since, I think it was 1933, something like that, 1930 something or other.
33.
It's gone. If you bought a house for $100,000 off the street, it was like $30.5 million. And basically talking about how the inflation rate's been over 300-fold Where so the opposite is true. If you held the money, it's now 99.7% of it was lost. So the money comes from inflation. It literally is just fabricated into the world and then, you know, deflates in value. And it didn't actually touch your tax dollars, because if it did, it would be a very hard pill to swallow for us to actually truly understand how much of that value we get to hold and where it went. And it'd be a lot harder for those projects to get funding. So it's just, it's imaginary. It's Monopoly bucks.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if you want to, I'm just putting something in the podcast chat. You say 1933, look up House Joint Resolution 192, passed in 1933, and you can start to understand and unravel that whole thing. It's pretty interesting. So
We got to be careful. We're going to start sounding like one of those podcasts.
Yeah, you just read it.
It's just
money, guys. How money's made. So, but that's why they were talking about 1933. That's really where it goes back to. And it's pretty interesting when you start reading it and learning a little bit about it. It's pretty interesting. But you know, I touched on Corey. We wanted to come back to Binance. We're going to shift gears on everybody. So let's shift gears over into something else. Let's talk about Binance for a second and doing a direct deposit or doing wiring funds to Binance and what happens there.
Truly. So one of the things that's really important that we didn't fully recognize whenever we kicked off the Pink sale was you can wire transfer into Binance US and it's there within the same day or the next day.
Yeah, and that is definitely deserving of a round of applause, because that will save some heartache for anybody who wants to get in and is struggling with a waiting period. You know, I don't know if everybody's bank is the same, but mine is basically charges me $25 to wire funds, and that pretty much is, you know, I've never hit the limit, so... You know, I don't know exactly what that limit is, but, you know, at Binance, you can bring in, what is it, 7.5 million? Is that right, Corey?
7.5 million you can wire transfer over.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, have it available the next day. And if you do it before noon, it'll be available that day.
That's true. By the way, in the podcast chat here, by the way, welcome in Sleep Trailer, which, by the way, actually, welcome into the podcast. We're actually very much looking forward to having you come in here and actually doing a deep dive,
because
Manifest King Apogee was talking a lot about you, and I definitely love to get connected and happy to see you in here. But making a point about the cheers
didn't mean to scare you.
It's startling.
I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah. And the Jackal says that he said, "Dang, just over that 7.5 million by $500."
I am going to go ahead and shut the podcast down. I'm going to hang out with Jackal. That's really interesting. And that's information that you'll be able to share, with other people that, possibly are struggling with that same thing. I know that held us up for several days waiting on funds to clear. So if you get into that position or someone wants to get in, and they're not sure how to eat quickly, then just share that information with them, let them do a wire transfer, and done.
Yep, and done. And then so from there, so get your Binance US set up, do the wire transfer. Then from there, you move it over to a MetaMask wallet. Next step, go to PinkSale, buy your Dogecoin.
That's it. So that's it. Guys, Corey is going to throw some stuff up in the podcast chat that we want to talk about for a minute. Something I said earlier, 20% Gram, and we're going to explain that here in just a second. But we are at podcast number 30, and right now in the lead is a Ford Man with 28, Blue Cat 27, Cake Lady 28. You know, Jackal's got most everybody else 25 and 27. Zach at 25, Kirby at 28. Sarah Burr, 28, Sherlock at 26. So good numbers there.
And I see that we are already at the 40-minute mark. So I'm going to go ahead and actually throw in the poll.
Throw the poll in there. And then we are going to talk about, guys, you know, it occurred to me, and, you know, all of us as we spoke, and we've been communicating over the last couple of days about the Pink sale. and about where we need to hit for our soft cap, for our hard cap, what marketing is doing. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking, and here is just the facts. Almost everybody that I've talked to, if I get more than 20 minutes to talk to somebody, they understand the mission, they understand the vision, and they can see where there is room for growth for their investment. I'm just being completely frank. And but when we are so different from the other projects that are out there that we find it very difficult to cut through the noise. You know, if you get into some of these Telegram groups and some of the shilling groups, it is meme coin after meme coin to the moon. I mean, there are literally promises of invest 1,000, get, you know, 500,000 over the year, just kind of a little bit outlandish claims. And people bite on these, right? They get, you know, for whatever reason, they do. And that's the place that we find ourselves in this time in history. And so to combat that, we really have thought about presenting a different way of how we could do marketing person to person. Because when this story is translated to someone and you tell your version of the story, it's easy for them to understand, A, why humanity needs it and how we can deliver it. So we've put together another strategy and we want to share it with you guys right now. And we believe that it will be an effective way to move forward.
Truly. And I want to give props because this is something we've worked through collectively a lot, but I would say quickly becoming just one of the, gosh, seeming almost like one of the founding team at this point in time, one of the foundational members here, Manifest King Apogee has been spending a lot of time working through this and kind of helping. Yeah, you go ahead, do the cheers. Yeah,
it was a short clap. I didn't want to scare anybody.
It's hilarious. Yeah, but in that way, truly helping to work through this, especially over the weekend, and just figuring out what the best way is to get the message out on a deep and meaningful level, because it requires the one-to-one conversation. Because to your point, Phil, I get on Telegram, people, for whatever reason, I guess because my name's on Doy stuff, people will reach out to me one-to-one and they're trying to add me to their Telegram groups. And for instance, just today, it's the one that I just came to mind is that like this Sedef guy said, join the Wojak army today and drive a Lambo tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like literally like, okay, yeah. Do this now, give us your money and you'll have a Lamborghini tomorrow. And it's hard whenever you're trying to have a real conversation with people that says, okay, first off, I mean, clearly that's a lie. Yeah. I'm not willing to lie. And second off, you know, this needs to be more meaningful than that. It requires a one-to-one conversation. It requires sitting down with somebody and saying, hey, it's not meme coins. It's not greed and fear. That's what it is. It's just like this greed, this fear, and we understand where it's coming from because we are all looking at it and wanting to escape. We want to create something different for our financial system and our financial personal system. I get it, but at the same time, in order to talk about the Doy, you have to have a one-to-one conversation. Clearly, anything that has to do with shilling groups or Telegram or anything that isn't somebody listening to a podcast and really understanding the mission, vision, and purpose, if it isn't that, it's not going to stick. Yeah. So what we wanted to do, instead of spending money trying to make sure people on Telegram or Discord or Twitter or whatever see us, and then whenever we don't just have 1,000 bots, like fake people, like actual bots talking about how something's going to go to the moon. Because by the way, you can on Fiverr buy like a package of 50 bots for like $100. Like you literally, like we could have 50 bots in here constantly just being like, you know, Lambo coming soon. You know, have you seen this? Look at the rise. Oh yeah. But clearly we haven't done that, but we could. And we do see clearly a lot of other projects have, like that's the model. So instead of spending a bunch of money on all the greed and fear and all the FOMO and all the bots and all that kind of stuff like that, we went, wait a second, let's instead put this money back into the community members and allow them to go out and reach people with something they believe in, they care about, that they understand at least better than someone else in a shill group could be able to understand it, and sit down with people and go, hey, wait a second. You should get involved with this because this is something that where we have the opportunity, the once in a history opportunity to change our situation. And by doing so, you, I mean, if you ask yourself the question, you know, what in the world is worth being more valuable? You can ask yourself the question, would you think a meme coin should be more valuable, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now? Or do you think something that's been designed to do what this is doing should be more valuable? And if you do so, should reward you, the person who the DOI guardians, should be able to reward you for your efforts, because the money's got to be spent on advertising somewhere. Like, this has to get off the ground. It has to be communicated. So it might as well, just like everything else, be buying for the people. So we started really wrapping our heads around that question and going, okay, what's that look like? And so during the Pink Sale, we determined, we call it the GRAM, which is grassroots affiliate marketing, GRAM. And during the Pink Sale, as an incentive for all of you listening to help us close out the round, as opposed to just dumping money into platforms or bots or fake shilling stuff that's not in line with our mission and vision, 20% of whatever funds that you bring in, people come in and purchase, you get rewarded. I'm going to pause on that for just a second. So if you bring in somebody, assuming that you get accepted, which, I mean, granted, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably already 98% of the way there. But assuming that you get accepted as being someone who's in line with the mission vision of the community, and you can clearly articulate and are going to speak well on behalf, if you bring people in and then they put your code, which you'll have to reach out to us after this podcast, and we'll talk through the details if you think that that's something you'd like to do. But if they put your code into that Google form that I just put in there, and we'll talk about that, what's on that Google form, then they will get some cool bonuses themselves. And you will get, once the Pink Sale closes, a 20% reward. So if you raise 20 BNB worth, you'll get 4 BNB as a reward. Because once again, we're going to have to spend the money to get those people anyway. So we might as well give it to you for having a one-to-one conversation that's going to be far more meaningful than us paying for some kind of AMA where people are just trying to package this project into another meme coin or NFT project.
Yeah, they're trying to make us fit in a box that we don't fit in, and we don't want to fit in it, right? We don't want to try to camouflage ourselves and be deceitful about what we are. And that's where a lot of the meme coins are. Not all of them. I mean, some of them we're calling meme coins. They have value. I mean, a Dogecoin went up a huge percentage off of something Elon Musk said, right? Or his move to do Twitter. So it's not as if there's no value. The problem is we don't look like them. And we don't want to look like them. And that is a more personal story than just throwing it up on Telegram and seeing what sticks. It just doesn't fit.
So if it doesn't fit, then maybe we should change the mold of what's been done in the past and try something better.
Exactly. So grassroots affiliate marketing, that's where the GRAM comes in. And 20% is what would be earned off of the effort to do it. And again, that's during the Pink Sale, right? So the percentage will have to go down after the Pink Sale. But the thing is that every company has to have a budget for advertising, for getting the word out. And if there's a way for us to develop a market where the participants of the DOI community can actually be the sales force, I mean, even into the future, that's way better. It puts money right back into the pockets of the community, instead of putting it into an advertising firm that's just going to do they look at it and they're like, well, how do we shill it? Well, that's not how it's going to work.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't help but to laugh. I'm reading the podcast chat there. 20% Graham, the slogan sells itself.
Pretty much.
And Cake Lady, you think you like it? Hey, that's awesome. Bring in the bakery, as you should. Yeah. As you should. And quite frankly, you should be rewarded for that, because that's what it takes. It takes people to sit down, talk to their friends, talk to their family, talk to coworkers, talk to people, like look across and have like a conversation that matters, and for them to understand that it actually matters, and to walk them through how they can get to the other side. Because let's be real, that's been the complication. The complication has been, this doesn't fit into the box, part one. Yep. And then they go, part two, I don't know how to get Binance into my wallet. And then part three, okay, how does this Pink Sale work? Like, we had and something clicked on the audit where somebody is saying like, oh, I can't get my DOI coin on the Pink Sale. It's like, okay, well, that's not how that works. Like, you need to have somebody who has a conversation, says, hey, look, you purchase that in there, the soft cap has to be met and the time, or the hard cap. And then it comes, like, you need a one-to-one conversation for people to understand that this is truly different, and they can get engaged in this podcast if they get lost. Or for that matter, they can become a part of this should they also choose. but it's not anything they've ever seen before, and that you can't do that without the intimacy, without that, the empathy, without the care, without the time. And in perpetuity, I foresee us being able to have, I could see nothing more beautiful, Phil, than a community of people that they are able to support themselves in some way by also supporting the organization and something that it's always going to need to be doing. Obviously the tiers, it'll go way down over time, but there's always some cost in capital raising.
Yes. And it really plays into our position in the universe as a DAO, right? Because that is one of the key things of a DAO, is that people can come into it and they can utilize their talents inside of a DAO, and then they can get paid out of their performance inside of the DAO. So it really just fits into what we are anyways. And it really is, I think it's an effective way to move forward, because this story is so much better when it is a personal story, you know, when it's understood on a more intimate level, and then you're able to give someone that one-on-one explanation. That's where it is.
That truly is where it is. And it's also too what we need. Like, just, we need that. So if you're listening to this right now, as we know how meaningful this is, we all listening to this believe in where this will go and where this should go, and in its purpose and the mission and vision. And we clearly see there's nothing like, even remotely like this, in this giant hole, this giant puzzle piece that's been missing from the jigsaw puzzle of life, like historically speaking. We all believe in that, but we're at this critical point where we need everyone who can to talk to a friend, talk to a family member, talk to a coworker, get them on board. And of course, they should be rewarded in that.
Yeah.
Because the money has to go. I mean, the funds have to go somewhere. So might as well go there. Now, so Phil, if I could, I'm going to redrop in the link to that Google form.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about how we would do that.
Can you open the form and just drop the form in here? Is that possible?
If you click the link, it'll drop the form. Here's what I'll do. I'll drop the link. And then for all of you, so you don't get lost, there's actually a shorter version of that one too, because I saw that you just dropped that in there, Hakeem. I think
it just makes you sign in. I thought maybe we could drop one in that was the visual version of it, right? Instead of signing in and going into Google Docs.
Yeah, hang on, I will do that.
Yeah, but this, you know, this will give an opportunity even to bring, you know, earning payment for services rendered is something that excites everybody. And this will give an ability for you to talk to other people around you and include them even on that. Like if they have friends and they want to go and they want to come in and learn, they may have to do some rapid learning, but if they want to come in and learn and then they want to take that out and work that for themselves, they're more than happy to. And you know that, but that is one of the parts of the conversation that we would like to have with everybody is, at what level does someone, can someone become an affiliate? Should they be a guardian first? Is that, should that be a requirement for even going out and talking about it and being some kind of a face for the organization? Because that's what we are, right? When we go out and we start giving information out, at that very moment, you are the face of the organization to that person you're standing in front of.
I would say that perhaps yes, but I also think that you can become a guardian in moments if you take a large enough step towards something meaningful. Because it's, imagine you just hear that call and you go, this makes sense.
Yeah.
I want to jump into this. I want to provide help as best that I can, given, you know, what I'm able to give, you know, in that way. Yeah. I would say that they should. And also too, that we should have in my mind, but once again, we can push it back to the community. In my mind, there should be an agreement on kind of like baseline, what that individual or group, what they should or shouldn't be able to do.
So maybe the approach should be that for the time being, or at least initiating it, that it is for the guardians, because you're already going to have you at this point, you have already internalized the pertinent information. And a lot of times, you know, this is sometimes why we repeat stuff over and over, as we're learning and we hear the same thing over and over, we start to internalize it. And you'll be surprised how when someone asks you a question, it's going to roll off your tongue, right? Because you've heard it and you've internalized it at this point. So it will be easy for you to go out and do. This is something that all of us have the capability of doing. And I will share a story with you just from my own personal experience. I created a small list of people. I went through my phone and I picked people out that I have some kind of a relationship with, but not a daily relationship. And I sent it out to them. There was 21 people. One of them has dropped out of the group, removed himself from the group. The other 20 have stayed. Now, I don't bombard them with information, but I do give them information. And out of that, two of them have engaged with me. One of them has already purchased, and the other one is loading his wallet up and doing some research to purchase. So there was that much response out of just 21 people. Two of them, that's 10%, right? Came in and said, yes, I'm interested. And just off of an old relationship that had been established years ago. So I think that it is something feasible for us to do. And as a community, I think it can be a very positive move for us.
I think that you really hit it spot on. So real quick, I'm going to answer some questions in the podcast chat. So yes, it is live right now. One. So this very get off of this podcast and immediately reach out and interact with somebody in live time, get them to get their Binance US set up, get it, go walk, hold their hand through the wire transfer, help get them on to Pink Sale. It's live right now. You get them to the other side. Once the Pink Sale closes, then, and we'll walk through the process of the form here. And once the Pink Sale closes, then your 20% reward will be, well, make sure that, get your wallet and hit it to you.
Yeah.
Now that's part one. Part two, how's the code created? Well, it can be whatever code you want. Just reach out to one of us. So one of the team, yeah, and just say, hey, I want to be part of all this. And we'll just make sure, hey, we're all on the same page that this is a fit, and assuming that it is, or that we don't already have a relationship and know that it is, then from there you go, okay, well, what would you like it to be? Because at the end of the day, whenever you're communicating it to people,
yeah,
it can be whatever you think makes sense, as long as we know it's you.
That's
and
right.
Also, and moving forward on that note, so it's 20% during the pre-sale, but in the event of a private sale, you know, like directly on the website or something afterwards and beyond, we intend to, if this works, which I can't imagine if we just tinker with it just right, that it shouldn't be just absolutely beautiful and glorious, then this is something that can scale into so many other meaningful things for our organization and also helping other organizations. And also too, as we pivot into offering services on enterprise level and things like that, like we want as a team to be able to have these things. So you're probably always going to want that code because you may be able to create some kind of income off of doing that if we have our druthers, if the future is held. So think about what you'd want that code to be, because granted, it's not always going to be 20%, but even if it's 2% and it's much easier, one, you know, or 0.2%, or who knows what the percentages will be, but whatever that is, as it's much easier to do that, to allow for that direct fundraising and support the community and they give rewards to whoever's fundraising as well, whoever purchases through there, that's going to be pretty darn exciting. So perhaps maybe we have a team of people that's all they do for a living. Maybe that's a team of thousands of people. Maybe we go the Binance route and there's 40,000 people nation or worldwide that are doing that. Who knows?
Yep.
But
so Corey, we are up on an hour. I propose that we wrap the podcast up for the podcast listeners, because that's what we need to do. And then maybe we stick around here live for another short time and field some of these questions and talk about this as a community. And if you are listening to the podcast afterwards, you should have been here live and you should have been in podcast chat, but we welcome you to come and join us for the next one.
Truly. So just to be clear, so we're on the same page, is we're going to hang out here, but we're going to close the podcast for anybody who just is like, hey, I don't feel like talking about 20% RAM or any of that kind of stuff, or like, hey, I came for the education, entertainment, news, or whatever it might be, and feel inclined to go and make themselves some dinner and go read a book.
That's it. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen listening to this out in the interwebs, we invite you to be kind to somebody. Take that minute. It might change their day, and it will definitely change yours. So for myself and for Corey Fico, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for listening to the DOI Podcast. If you've enjoyed our time together, please rate and review the podcast. Together, we can achieve a brighter future. Help us bring this information to the world by sharing it with friends and family. The DOI Coin, the crypto coin for the people, by the people.